I'm going to invite you at this time to grab the outline that you'll see in your bulletin. I have the joy of being able to share, the privilege of being able to share the Word of God with you this morning. I want to look at a powerful parable, a parable of the talents. Translation that we have, they call it gold. It probably was, but the translation we had in the other services was from the ESV. And they had talents, which is more the traditional word for it. That's actually the word in Greek. And sometimes the words in the Bible are hard to understand. You know, certain cultural things that are difficult for us to grasp. It's a very different culture, very light years away from how we live and think. And I did not understand. When I heard, when I was growing up, talents, I didn't know what talents were. I really had no idea when I was a little kid. I thought it was like these guys were just really talented guys, you know. So you had like one guy, he had three talents, and then he went out and he earned more, you know, he got more talents, so he became more talented. And then the second guy, he had a couple of talents, but he worked and he became even more talented. And then the third guy, he only had one talent, but in the end, he really had no talent at all, and he was really just plain untalented, the end. And I just really didn't grasp, you know, the meaning of what the Lord was saying. A talent in those days, or as your translation it, I think they have a bag of money, bags of gold. It's actually a certain increment of gold, usually. It could have been silver. And one of the Bible dictionaries says that this was equal to 20 years of an average worker's wage. So this is a lot of money. And there's two important points that I'd like to begin with to get about the talents and about this gold that the person was given. One, they have received an initial investment. That's a key point. They have received an initial investment. And that initial investment is absolutely huge. So let's say a talent, which is what it was, about 75 pounds. So if we say 75 pounds of gold, which is likely usually what it was, that comes out to be just over $1 million. Now, even if it was silver, it would still be over 20K. And regardless of whether it's silver or gold, doesn't really matter, the story would have gotten everybody's attention because it is a huge amount of money. It is truly priceless what they have received. It is beyond what anyone could possibly work for. It is beyond what anyone could possibly earn in their lifetime. It is just a gift that no one can say they're worthy of. No one can say they've earned it. No one can say they have merit for it. It is just something that God has given to the person. It's a gift of Jesus Christ. It's a gift of God's grace, believing that God is our Savior, that He is our hope. He is priceless treasure beyond all anything we could possibly imagine. So the first thing is that there is an initial investment that's made in us, and that is faith in Jesus Christ. The second thing that's important to begin with in this is that God expects a return. God doesn't expect a return on the investment. You know, even if the person with one talent were to take that and put it in the bank at 1.5% interest, in just the course of 60 years, he'd have $2 million. And God is looking for this interest to come back, and it would be a significant amount. And, you know, the first observation in your outline is that God has entrusted His blessings to us. A verse from John 1:16. From His fullness, from the fullness of His grace, we have received one blessing after another. And from Romans, it says, He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for all of us, will He not, along with Him, also graciously give us all things? God has made a huge investment in you and I. He has given us this wonderful, beautiful, amazing gift of Jesus Christ. That is the starting point. is faith in Jesus Christ. It is that hope that we have in Christ and in Christ alone. And God has given this to us as a gift, as a loving and beautiful, wonderful giver. First two guys saw that. Third guy did not. He did not see God like that. And that is a really important point in the parable. You see, another thing that is interesting about this is that as we look through how Jesus tells this story, as one thing that used to bug me from time to time, I didn't understand, and it was difficult for me to grasp what the meaning of it is. But you'll notice that God doesn't give his gifts equally. I mean, what's with that? What does that mean? Does that mean that there are some people that are worth more? Does that mean that there are some people whose contribution is more important than another person's? I even saw somebody saying that the Lord actually knew that this one person was a loser. I mean, that's absurd. God does not look at things like that. God does not look as favoring one above another. That's a human way of looking at it. That's the way we look at people when they work for us and when they serve us. We think like that. God does not think like that. God thinks totally different. So how does God think about this? Why does he give different amounts to different people? Well, in order to help us understand this, I brought a tapestry with me. Because God does give equal amounts to different people. And there is an important meaning that's behind that. It's an important meaning because what's happening is God is looking at what he's telling us from a different perspective. Jesus is God, and God is telling it from God's perspective. And God's perspective on the world and our lives and our living is very different than ours. We tend to think linear, one thing after another. Our contribution is important. It's valuable. Now, you'll see in this tapestry, you'll see that there's an overall work of art. This was given to us. If you read Spanish, you've already figured out what it says. But it's a work of art, and the person that did it for us had a vision in mind. They had an idea of what they wanted to produce. Now, one thing you'll notice, there is not so much yellow, is there? There's a little bit of yellow, but there's not so much. And then you'll notice there's a little bit of cyan there, isn't there? But if you'll notice, there's probably not a whole lot of cyan. And if you're looking at the colors, look and examine the colors, and you'll see that there's different colors that are used in different links. Some are used quite a bit throughout the whole document or throughout the whole tapestry. And they're important for the work. But all of them are important for the work. All of them fit together for a certain reason, for a certain time, for a certain length, for a certain purpose to make the overall work that God is doing. God is the designer. God knows how everything fits together. We don't. And he wants you to be encouraged by the fact that he is fitting everything together in this world. You have a time and season. You have an opportunity to offer something to the work that's going to make it beautiful for the glory of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. And you don't know what that link's going to be. You'll see in the final end result. You'll see how it all fits together. You'll see how God did this. But it is God's grace that is doing it. And all of us have different parts to play, but we're all hugely important and vital to it. So he's talking about the initial investment. He's talking about how he gives to us differently and how we're part of what God is doing. But you know, not everybody looks at it the same way. Not everybody views it in the same way. Not everybody views and interprets and understands that interaction and the grace that God has given us so that it flows from them in a way that achieves God's purposes. Now, one of a good example of that in the Bible, because, you know, sometimes we get overwhelmed with our situations and our problems, especially this time of year. It can get really busy for us preparing for Thanksgiving meal. Anybody stressed with that? We know one friend of ours that was really stressed about Thanksgiving this year because she just had a miserable experience with some friends and relatives a while back. But, you know, we were comforting her on that. But I know there's just so much stress, so many things that happen. Sometimes little things can cause us to be all worried and all stressed. I shared in the other services, I was driving around Paxton and I ran into rush hour. in Paxton. I'm driving and there's like 10 cars on the road. And I'm like, what's the deal here? You know, what's going on? But, you know, I'm worried. I'm complaining. I have a different attitude. And I stop and think, you know, what am I complaining about? God has got this treasure inside of me. Why don't I just stop and just think, okay, God, you're here. You're present. Give me a good attitude that's going to bring something good to this situation, not only to me, but to the people around me. It's a lot better than a horn, isn't it? And, you know, you stop and you think about how God is working, how His grace is working. The example I was going to give you from the Bible is when Jesus was feeding the 5,000. It's in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And it's interesting when you read those stories, Jesus actually especially put the disciples in a situation where they would not be able to meet the need, specifically, purposely. He actually put them in a situation where they didn't have everything they needed to meet it, and they panicked and they freaked out and they worried and they got all stressed. And there was one boy that came forward that had a different perspective. He only had five loaves and two little fish, and he came forward and he said, "Lord, you know, can you use this?" And it made me think, you know, we should come to God and we should say, "Lord, you have this investment inside of me. Can you use it? Can you use it? How can you use it in this situation? How can I be an influence in the tapestry that you're doing that's going to weave something different than how I would look at it? Because I don't see it as you see it." There is a humility. There is a denial of self. There is a giving in to God. There is a will that says, "Lord, your will is greater. And I want you to work. And I want you to shape me. I want you to help this situation. I want you to guide me." And that is an awareness, in fact, that the Holy Spirit really brings inside of us and works inside of us. It's the gift of God. It's that initial investment that God has made. And, you know, we are going to be accountable. There's no doubt about it. That is true. As a preacher, as a pastor, as a servant for you and one that loves you in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and as a person, I can tell you the fact that you will be held accountable. But, you know, here's the thing about that. Accountability is not a threat if you know the love of God. If you know that your relationship with God is based on His forgiveness and grace in Jesus Christ, that is not a threat to you. It's an opportunity of God's grace. It's an opportunity for God to work in ways where you might fail. It's an opportunity for God to bring something into a situation that you can't see, a help, a hope that would be there. And Jesus amplifies it in this parable by saying it should flow out from you into the world that you're in. He says, "That's what I want you to see. See that where you have been placed in your family, in your workplace, in your church, wherever God has placed you, you think of all the things in your life, who you're married to, where you live. You think of so many things that happened that you didn't plan. You had no control over them. They just happened. Why? So that God could manifest the treasure that He's planted in you and through you." And I realize that we do not always get this right. But God is saying, whether you know you have 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 years, it's a matter of our perspective. Check out the two guys. The first two guys realize that this is a God of grace and God is present in my life and He can make this situation something into that I can't see. And that's the investment that He made. It was the investment of God working through him to help him, to heal him, to bless him, to be with his family, to work with him in that way. The third guy didn't see any of that. And he missed it. And he missed knowing who God was and the wonder and the beauty of God's grace. There's a word "traded" in the text, in the Greek text. It says that the first two guys went out and they traded. Now, what did they trade? They traded what people don't have. What do people not have? The peace of God. The forgiveness of God. The love of God. All these are commodities that the world does not know, and even sometimes we are not fully aware of. This is what they traded. This is what they traded in a world that needs these things. This is why God has called you into fellowship with Him and into fellowship with us and put that initial investment in you. And so I would encourage us to sit back and ponder the wonder of this, the blessings of this. Oh, the opportunities that God has given us. Don't see them as obstacles. See them as opportunities for God's grace to do something that you could not do. You know, think of our lives as an offering. As an offering to God. Every day you get up, my life is an offering for God. And you can think to yourself, God, how are you going to use that today? And think about the offering that's given on the altar. It has no mind. It has no will. It just offers itself. And you just say, Lord, just use me. Bless me. Use me in my family. Use me in my workplace. And know that your sacrifice for your kids and to help out, to pray for your workmates, to do whatever it may be, know that God is working in that and He can bring the return on the investment. We have a wonderful, beautiful, caring Savior. May He strengthen us in it. May He give us zeal and a desire to serve Him and to see His kingdom come and be established in this world. Through the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.